ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing?
He's Brian, in for Blank. I am Branham. It is a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brian behind the glass. Brian also filling in for Blankers. I don't know whether or not to be worried about Blankers or not, Brian. And how did Brian do on the What Up H-Town? Hey, how we doing? 713-780-3776.
I thought I nailed it.
It was okay. I'm going to give it a 4-4.
I mean, I don't know that I wanted to nail it, but I nailed it.
Why not?
You know, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but, you know, it's not my call.
Yeah. It was a 4-4, I think. It wasn't bad.
4-4 out of, wait, hold on, out of 5, right?
Never. Yeah. We never do things at a 5. It's always on a 1 to 10 scale.
Why,
actually,
by,
it's a 0 to 10 scale.
By the way, Blank
scale.
Is out. I'm looking at the camera right now. We still have a presence. I don't know. It looks real to me.
Yeah. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. There's a killer bee there. It looks angry, so maybe that's where you see the similarities.
That bee looks like it would use the horn while driving every single day.
You're right.
So, to me, nothing has changed.
You're right. It does look like that. We're on the Twitch, too, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Nikolai gives you a 6 out of 10. That's not bad. Fake Tony Stark gives you a 3 out of 10. Chewy gives the mascot an 8 out of 10.
Yes,
Buchanan gives
I
it
agree
a 5.
With that.
Cougblaze Go Cougs gives it a 0 out of 10, and then Keith on the YouTube gives it a 7.5.
Okay.
So Keith grading pretty good.
Mixed. Yeah.
Not too bad.
It seems fairly mixed.
Yeah, and we'll get to wrong answers only of why Blankers is in here a little bit later, but I'm a little – should we be concerned? We'll get to the uniforms here in a second. We'll get to Jeremy Booth throughout the show today, which tip my cap to Jeremy Booth. You know, Joe called him a clown, for goodness sakes, and he comes in person and sits down and has a 30-minute conversation with him. I tip my cap to that. That's a grown man right there. How many people would go have a cordial conversation for 30 minutes with somebody who calls him a clown? Jeremy Booth did. I give him a lot of praise for that. So we'll get to some of the stuff he had to say. I thought it was a very it was great radio for the 30 minutes. I enjoyed it quite a bit, even though Booth showed up 15 minutes late. No one wants to mention that. Just kidding. He did.
Even in your praise, you're taking shots.
I mean,
you just can't help yourself.
Is it a shot if it's legit? He was 15 minutes late.
I know, but we were burying the hatchet. We were talking about how he was a man for coming in, and then
he's still finding a way to
get a little dig in.
I'm always going to troll. I'm always going to be sarcastic.
Yeah,
it's who I am.
I
mean, I'm not going to change. He was 15 minutes late. Was he or was he not?
He was.
It was worth it.
He was 15 minutes late, yes.
It was worth it because, I mean, I was dialed in. I listened on my drive to
Texas A&M.
You held
through the 15 minutes, so clearly the anticipation was there.
I didn't have much of a choice, though, because I was in the car driving to Texas A&M, fighting Texas Aggies. I'm not in the studio today. I'm in College Station, Houston baseball against number one Texas A&M a little bit later. So I'm in the visiting booth staring out at the field and looking at Kyle Field, which is just beyond center field. So that's where I'm at today. But Blankers is not here. Blankers texted us at 7:57, which he was telling us he wasn't going to be in, so I guess it's fine to join on a 7:57 or to text at a 7:57. If it wasn't to say that he wasn't going to be at work, that's too early. That's too early. You can't be texting people before 8 o'clock unless it's a work-related, hey, I'm not going to make it. I think the earliest you can fire off a text that isn't urgent, and his text was urgent, this isn't a dig at Blankers. I think the earliest you should text somebody is 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. If you don't know their routine, you don't know their schedule, the earliest you should text somebody is 9 o'clock.
Well, I mean, was it urgent, though?
Yeah. I mean, he said he's not going to be in. We have to make plans.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it was before 8 a.m. urgent, though. We weren't even putting stuff in the rundown, really, yet.
But it's as soon as he knew, he let us know. I think that he did the right thing. Like, if you're not going to be at work, you have to let your colleagues know as soon as possible. So he did the right thing there. But if it was like, hey, how you guys doing? Then that, to me, you shouldn't text somebody before 9 o'clock.
I don't know. You and I have both worked for a PD who would have told us we didn't want it bad enough if we're texting people we're not going to be there at 7 a.m.
That's true. You figure out a way to get in and get to work. That is true.
Joel should have talked to John Lopez and got a ride in with him. Apparently, that's how you get things done.
Yeah.
Now we're going super inside baseball.
I love that phrase, by the way. The Blankers texted us, just to peel back the curtain, at 7:57 this morning. Big eyes, I got a sick little one with a temperature that I'm probably going to have to take to urgent care, so I'm probably going to have a sick day today. Okay, you know, we get her well. We don't know which one it was. He didn't tell us. But we hope that, you know, his daughter's doing fine, which, you know, we said. You said, sorry to hear that, Joel. Hope she feels better soon, exclamation point, which is the exclamation point there. A little bit patronizing. I don't know, maybe. I responded.
It's trying to convey sympathy through text. Like, I feel like without the exclamation mark, maybe it comes off as like a little passive, like, hope she feels better, whatever.
Yeah, and then I said, get her better, exclamation mark, so maybe I'm being a little patronizing there, maybe. It's certainly on the table, we can discuss that.
Fake.
But he said, thanks, or whatever, and then I put in parentheses, I said, who is Big Eyes? Question mark. Because he said, Big Eyes, I got a little sick one with a temperature. Uh-huh. Okay, well, who is Big Eyes? Okay, now we got the first thing that we need to worry about out of the way. You know, hey, I got a sick one, take care of her. Hey, hope she gets better. You know, the little surface level pleasantries that you have to say. I said, well, who is Big Eyes? Who are you calling Big Eyes? And he said, voice texting, sorry. And the reason I say it's sorry is because he misspelled sorry. He spelled it S-O-E-R-Y.
That so, he's Canadian.
So he's – I don't think he's voice texting the sorry at that point. Maybe he voice texts the Big Eyes, which, okay, I get that. Big Eyes, not Big Guys, Dab. He's saying Big Guys. No, he said Big Eyes. Big ojos. Big
but
Eyes.
But here's the thing, though, Jeremy. As you're saying that, like, okay, I get the voice to text thing. And it would seem like the most obvious thing to get recorrected from to Big Eyes would be Big Guys. But that's not a phrase he would use with us.
I think
he never
saying,
referred to us as a collective as Big Guys.
No, and he wouldn't. I think that if he's voice to text, which I'll believe the excuse that he was voice to texting. I know he voice to text quite a bit. I never do that. I never do that.
No,
but
I don't
he says he said so. Maybe he was saying hey guys, and it picked up big
could
guys.
Could have been hey guys. Yes,
I think it was hey guys that picked up big guys. So like I can give him credit for that one. But then whenever I asked him who is Big Eyes, he said voice texting sorry, and he spelled it S O E R Y. So at this point, he's not voice to texting because voice to text wouldn't say sorry. Right? So now at this point,
true.
He's literally sending the text message, and then he fixed it to say sorry, which, okay, you know, I can understand a voice-to-text error. I can understand a typo error. Now he's kind of picking and choosing which to do and when. But the one that really confused me was, like, minutes later, he responded to one of my tweets from yesterday. It was one of the tweets about, you know, I don't hate the idea of Jonathan Brooks at 42. This was literally, like, 17 hours ago. At this point now, is probably like 20 hours ago, he responded, pull P9PUB. On the, like, he went, so you opened up the Twitter app.
Right.
He went into Twitter, and he typed pull, P-U-L-L, space, P9PUB, pull P9PUB. What's going on here?
Is it possible that he got some sort of confirmation code? You know how sometimes when you try to log into an account,
yeah,
and they'll send you the confirmation code via you can opt into the text via confirmation code to verify that it's you actually trying to log into the account? The only thing I could think of is maybe he had it copied, but it still doesn't explain why he would then paste it into a reply, not notice it, and hit send. But that, yeah, what he actually sent in that reply to you looks like maybe like a confirmation code you would get to try to log into a website.
Yeah, and the tweet was, I don't hate the idea of Jonathan Brooks at 42. Second-round running backs the last 5 years have been pretty good. And then it's just a list of the second-round running backs that have been selected in the last 5 years. And this was at the time when he tweeted this at 9:49. This tweet was 17 hours before he tweeted it at 9:49. Should we be concerned about Blankers? Should
okay,
we be worried?
Jeremy, I'm looking at it right now. What are the last three letters of his reply to you?
Pub, P-U-B.
Is it possible Joel Blank is at a pub at 9:49 in the morning? And that's it. Maybe he's had a few too many.
Well, see,
and that's why he's got the spelling and grammatical errors in the reply to you?
Well, this would be an issue because I know that he doesn't drink. So
we can all fall off the wagon.
I think there is a greater than 1% chance, or not 1%. There's a greater than a 0% chance that Blankers has fallen off the wagon. There's a great, and I hope that if he did, he was drinking Gentle Ben because
yeah,
the recovery
I mean, sure.
would be better. Now, Do I think this happened? No. Do I think there's a greater than 0% chance that Blankers texted us this morning and called us big eyes and then said misspelled sorry and then tweeted a tweet from 17 hours ago, pull P9PUB because he fell off the wagon? Yeah, I think there's a greater than a 0% chance.
What's higher, the percentage of chance that Joel Blank did this, as we describe, is at a pub when he said his daughter was sick, or Jose Abreu's batting average?
Ooh, I think Jose Abreu's batting average is greater than the chances of this being
man,
two from Blankers.
Okay, so you really don't think this happened?
No, no, I don't think. I don't think that. I believe Blankers, but the tweet is very much messing with my mind. There's a better way to say that, but not, you know, on the radio where children
mind
could
freak,
be listening.
But not freak.
Sure. Yeah. Mind bad word. Definitely a mind bad word for me. This would be a great troll. Like, this is something that I'm capable of doing. Like, this is a troll. Like, I'm just going to mess with these guys today. Watch this. And they're going to talk about it for 11 minutes to lead off their show. That's something I don't think he has the creative capability to be able to do that, though.
Well, that seems unnecessarily mean. It's not Friday.
Am I wrong? You know.
I do agree with you that I don't think – well, I wouldn't put it as he doesn't have the creative capability. I would put it at – I don't think his mind works like that. I don't think his thought would be at 7 o'clock in the morning, let me come up with some red herring tossed to the guys to throw them off the scent and then have them derail the show. I don't think that's what he thinks of at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. Also, like, if you're hungover at 7:58, I think that you're still trying to make an effort to make a 3 o'clock show.
Maybe. I mean, I don't. If he truly felt, let's run with the wild, you know, unfair conspiracy theory here, yeah, that Joel is drunk here right now at a pub. Mm-hmm. If he did indeed fall off the wagon, and it's been a while since said fall off the wagon because he hasn't done so in a long time, then maybe his body's not ready for it. Maybe he's got to take a really long nap to sleep it off.
Yeah, I mean, it's greater than 0% chance, but not greater than Jose Abreu's batting average.
Somewhere in that
so
sweet
somewhere
middle ground.
From 0.01 through 0.67 is where the possibility of this.
Now, is that the odds or
play.
Is blood alcohol level?
Are we talking about sweat now? Or
yeah, it could be. Either one. Joel Blank or Tavondre Sweat.
You know,
who hit it harder?
That's kind of a funny joke. Like, this would be a pretty good. Like, certainly you're not driving, you're Ubering everywhere, you're not getting behind the car, you're not pulling, you know, you're not driving anything, you're not operating a motorized vehicle. With the struggles of Jose Abreu, would it be a funny bit if you got your BAC up to Jose Abreu's batting average? How much would it take for you to have a blood alcohol, is it content? It's not content, is it? What's the final, what is it, blood alcohol what?
Well, it's just blood alcohol level, right?
No, it's BAC, concentration.
Oh.
Blood alcohol concentration.
Okay.
How much would it take to get your blood alcohol concentration to 0.68? The legal limit's 0.08, so it seems like it would be pretty high, pretty extreme.
I'm not a heavy drinker, and when I do, I drink Gentle Bins. Don't work through your drink. Enjoy your drink.
Gentle Bin. There's no S at the end.
Oh, my bad. But here I am giving you a plug, and you correct me.
Listen to this. It's all become full circle. I'm the one who throws S's at the end of RBIs, and now I'm telling you there's no S on Gentle Bin.
I know. Time is a flat circle. shout out to Rusty. I completely forgot where I was going with it. Now we completely derailed.
Yeah. Yeah. Points. If any of you are experts on
alcohol
and stuff,
I know what I was going to say. I don't think you could get up to a point to Jose Abreu's batting average and still be conscious at that point. What was it, 0.68? Is that what his batting average is at?
Yeah, he's hitting 0.68.
I don't think you could get to that BAC, and heavy drinkers or more heavy drinkers than Jeremy and I, you know, please text in and tell us if you're able to. But I don't think you could get up to a blood alcohol level that high and still be conscious.
Oh, yeah, you might die. I just Googled this, and it says blackouts tend to begin at blood alcohol concentrations of about 1.6. Yeah, so I'm an idiot. I'm ignorant. if you're blacking out at 1.6, then you're dying at Jose Abreu's batting average.
Now, I know you can get higher than a 1.6 because I listen to a lot of true crime stuff, and I've heard of, you know, murderers and terrible people get up to around 0.3.
Yeah.
But those are people that have been heavy, heavy drinkers for decades. So, and that's as high as they get. So, 0.68, I think, would be too far of a stretch.
Yeah, Google says there's a few different, levels of blackoutness. This one says 0.30 to 0.39. This one, though, says that if a BAC over 0.4, that this is a potentially fatal blood alcohol level. So any of the ideas of trying to get your blood alcohol to Jose Abreu's batting average, that is not to the consent of ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 and or the Killer Bees. We are not saying that you should do this. Absolutely do not do this. Do not try to get a BAC of Jose Abreu's batting average. It's a terrible idea. You will die.
So what you're saying is Jose Abreu is damaging to our health.
Yes, in more ways than one. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What is going on with Blankers? What is going on with Blankers? Sending us the text saying, big eyes, misspelling sorry, and then responding to a tweet from 17 hours previously, pool P9 PUB. What is going on? Should we be concerned? 713-780-ESPN. We're concerned about the well-being of our co-host, Joel Blank. Should we be? We'll also grade the uniforms. The Houston Texans uniforms came out today, four of them. We'll talk about that. We'll get into how are we fixing the Houston Astros. Draft day trades for Nick Caserio. We know he's a Will and Dylan son of a gun. How willing and dealing are we willing to be as we pretend to be Nick Caserio? We'll cash him or trash him. We'll respond to some Jeremy Booth. We got a busy show scheduled. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. What do we think of the Houston Texans uniforms? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I don't know what you think about them, but I know what you should think about goals from Pro Dunk. They're the best in the world. I walk through my neighborhood once every 2-3 weeks. It's about how much I exercise. And I look at these basketball goals, and they stink. They're terrible. They're awful. They get them at the big box stores, and they last a couple of months. They last a couple of weeks. The rim's jacked up. The backboard's either broken or damaged. Sometimes they're not even upright. Sometimes they're laying flat on their basketball belly. Well, you need to get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops if you're going to get a goal. Do it right, because they make the highest quality basketball goals that you will find, unlike anything in these big box stores. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, thick steel pole, stainless steel hardware, height adjustable, and rust proof. You got to have the rust proof in Houston. You can adjust this goal anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. Get their new goal Thor, which allows you to raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, so it's simple, it's easy, it's idiot proof, which is perfect for me. You can lower it to all the way down to 5 feet, raise it up all the way to the regulation 10 feet, and you can do it in a matter of seconds. Try Thor, get the lightning adjust feature. Their accessories are next level too. LED light kits for night play. You work, kids are in school. You can only play in the evening into the night. We'll get the light kits, and you won't have to worry about going inside when it's dark. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball around, lazy bones. Pull pad lettering and lots, lots more, and you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. The goals at Pro Dunk Hoops are fantastic, and the pros will professionally install it at the perfect height, perfectly straight. Don't mess with the ladder. Don't mess with the level. Just allow the pros to do all the work for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, or visit them online, produnk.com, produnk.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
No Blankers today. Brian's in for him. Should we be worried about Blankers? Kristen Humble said maybe he's having a stroke. Hope not. This guy says that Joel isn't going to like y'all sharing this information. I apologize to absolutely nobody. Cousin Justin and a lot of people on the text line are informing us that Jose Abreu's batting average is 068. It's 068, right? So actually, you could legally have up to his batting average and still drink and still drive.
Oh,
it's
068.
His batting average is 068. So I got a little confused with the decimal. That's a problem of mine. Sometimes I have problems with decimals, okay? The decimal in Jose Abreu's batting average, of course, is before the zero. So it's 068. The legal limit is 0.08. So you could have Jose Abreu's batting average in BAC and still be able to legally operate a motorized vehicle. That's how bad Jose Abreu's batting average is. His batting average is so bad that your blood alcohol concentration can get up to Jose Abreu and you can still legally drive.
Yeah. No, that's not. If we were, I think we're doing something later in the show with what it will take to boost our morale, or at least the Astros' morale. That's not that. That little factoid isn't doing it, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jose Abreu's batting average is below the BAC limit. .068 is sober. Yeah, my fault. I got in trouble with the decimal, but you are all right. You could have up to Jose Abreu's batting average and be just fine.
I don't know if you've seen it, but they have these little charts. Like one drink equals this sort of blood alcohol level. Two drinks equals this. Maybe we need to put on that chart when you pass them out a picture of Jose Abreu inside still the legal limit.
Yeah, that's my bad. My bad. I screwed up the decimal.
It's a sponsorship opportunity. I can't believe the Astros have passed them so far.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Brought to you by some law firm that handles drunk DUI cases.
Yeah. If you ever want to know how many people are listening, just screw up a decimal and you'll immediately find out. People are jumping out of the woodwork. My cousin's texting me. The HRMP text line is lighting up. The Twitter is lighting up. You ever want to see how many people are truly listening, move the decimal over one spot. But yeah, you're all right. That's how bad Jose Abreu's been. Okay. Let's talk about these Houston Texans jerseys. And what do y'all think of these jerseys? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Brian, what'd you think?
I like some of them. I don't want to ride the fence here, but there are a few of these, or at least two of them, that I really like. The one I don't like, which is actually kind of funny because I've heard a lot of people really in favor of this, and maybe it's specifically on the helmet itself, but I do not like the all-red jerseys, and it's mostly because of the helmet. And this was one of the things I believe we talked about this last week or maybe earlier in the week that we'd heard rumored about the kind of the horn coming up through the helmet. I mean, the jersey itself and the color scheme, it's fine, but I do not like these all-red helmets.
Yeah, we'll start there. I gave the Bold Bull a 7.4. Overall, but let me just get this out of the way to start this, because we're going to nitpick some certain things that we don't like, and it's going to sound like we're haters and we don't like what the Texans did. I think the Texans' rollout of the new uniforms was fantastic. I think that the Houston Texans did an incredible job. People are fired up about one uniform. People are fired up for two, three, four. The rollout too with like the videos at 10 o'clock. I didn't see a picture of this, but I think it was Sarge that tweeted it, that there's a huge jersey on Sam Houston up in Huntsville. If y'all have actually seen that, like, send me a picture of it. I want to see it. But then you have like Bun B. You have these cool videos. You have all this merch. Like, I think that the Texans' rollout of this was excellent. I think that they really nailed it. I think they did a fantastic job. I love the excitement. I love the build. I like the new uniforms overall. Yes, we're going to nitpick it here in a second. But overall, I think it was a fantastic job. I think they did wonderful with this. Like, we mocked it a little bit when there was leaks when it came to the white jersey. Then there was the leak with the helmet. We mocked. But, in 2024, things are going to get leaked. I give the Texans a 10 out of 10 in terms of the rollout of this. I think they did a fantastic job. Now let's get to the hater aspects of it. The Bold Bull, I actually liked more than I thought I would like. I gave it a 7.4, but I don't like the helmet as much as some of the renderings that I saw. I don't like that it's two colors of the horn. I feel if the horn was just all solid blue and not that little red stripe down the middle of it, I think it would look so much better. So that's the one thing I would critique about that. I do like them more than I thought I would. I don't love the horns on the shoulder pads, but the horn is okay on the helmet. I just wish it was one color. I give it a 7.4.
Yeah, I think the 7.4 is fair. I would get it right about there. I'll say 7.1 to be a little different. I don't like you said, kind of the hollow inside of the horn on that on that jersey combo. And also, and this is kind of a critique of the overall uniforms, not just this bold one here with all red. But a lot of these kind of look very Atlanta Falcons, and I don't know. I mean, I know it's supposed to be a navy blue, but when you look at just the picture, if you did not navy blue, but whatever blue you're assigning to
Deep Steel Blue,
and right? I was trying to think of the actual official name.
And Cal McNair, he went on the Highway to Hell earlier today, and he said that it's the same color as the Yankee blue, which some things better left unsaid.
Why would that be a bragging point? Okay, I'm going to push.
Should have said it.
Yeah, I'm going to push that aside for a second. Ignore the fact that Cal said that. They should have put Hannah on. But when you're looking at this uniform, like if you didn't know it was Deep Steel Blue, it kind of looks black. And if you're looking at it and thinking it's black, the styling of the numbers and the kind of the swoosh on the shoulders, I don't know. It just looks kind of very Atlanta Falcons-y to me.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say that. I don't really – I mean, I could see it in the white jerseys a little bit, but I actually like the white jerseys.
I do, too.
Now, I see your point with, like, the color scheme and stuff like
that. I think
the
white jerseys are actually my favorite.
They were the ones that I gave the highest marks to. I gave that one an 8.7, which was the highest marks of the four. It's my favorite of the four, and the only reason that I have it below a 9 is because I don't like the horn on the shoulder pad. I'm not a big fan of these horns on the shoulder pad. I think it looks a little cheesy. But other than that, I think it's really nice. You know, I like the color of the helmet. I'm cool with the Toro logo. I like how they modernized the look of the jersey a bit. The white one was my favorite.
Yeah, it's my favorite, too. What'd you say you gave it? Like an 8?
I gave it an 8.7.
8.7? Okay, just to be a little bit different, I'll go 8.8. Definitely my favorite. I could go either way with the horn on the shoulder. I see what you're saying, and that maybe that also kind of leans into, especially if you didn't know it was a horn, it also looks Atlanta Falconsy, and so does the font for the numbers on the front. But overall, yeah, I really like these white uniforms. They're very well done.
Let's go to the traditional one first before we wrap it up with the H-Town Tough one. I actually like these. I think that they touched up the old aspects of it. They made it look a little bit new. It's interesting, too, that like on the back of the whites and the blues, they actually have the H logo. And I like the way the H logo looks whenever it doesn't have the H-Town blue and the red. When it's just like a solid color, it actually looks pretty good. But the blues I thought were sharp. They're clean. They modernized it. I know it's kind of boring, but I am in my dad era. I gave these an 8.2. I'm fine with the traditional ones. And one subtle thing about the traditional and the modern ones, too, I like it whenever in all of sports, baseball, football, basketball, I like it whenever the home jerseys say the nickname of the team. The blue jerseys say Texans on the front, real small. And I like it when the visiting white jerseys say the city, and the white jerseys do. So, like, the subtleness of that, Texans at home, Houston on the road, I'm actually a fan of that. I know I'm weird, but I'm a fan of that.
No, I like that, too. And that was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will text in if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure the old ketchup and mustard uniforms the Rockets used to wear, that was the same thing. Like, their home jersey said Rockets, and the away jersey said Houston. I agree with you there. I do like that touch. It's subtle. That might not mean much to everyone listening, but I do like that. And I do like that they kept something that felt familiar, as when you see it, you're like, okay, that's the Texans uniform. They did modernize it a little bit. The font on the numbers is different, but I like that they kept something that feels very familiar as a Texans fan, and also tied into the fact, I mean, especially with the logo, because it's supposed to represent the state flag of Texas, right? The red, white, and blue, and the orientation of it. So this uniform still feels like that, and I think matches the logo the best. So I'm glad they kept something like that in this uniform combination.
Yeah, I do like that, too, because it kind of, you know, touches on what you wanted. The founding father, Bob McNair. The final one here, the H-Town Tough. This is my least favorite by far. I give this one bad marks, 3.2. I don't hate the H on the back of the blue helmet, like I said.
I thought you did the other day.
I hate it?
I thought you did. Maybe.
Oh, I hate. No. I hate the H that's on the H-Town Tough helmet, the side of it. But on the regular helmets, the Toro on the side, on the very back of the helmet, they have the small secondary H-Town Tough logo. So on the blue jersey, the traditional one, and then the modern jersey, the white one, that has the Toro on the side, right?
Right.
But on the back of that, like right on the bottom of the skull, it has the little itty-bitty H-Town H on it.
Okay, I see.
And I actually kind of like that one because it takes out all the color. It just has – I think it's outlined in red, and then it's just the color blue. That one actually looks sharp. But whenever it's on the side of the H-Town Tough helmet and you throw in the H-Town blue, you throw in that like that navy blue, there's actually three colors of blue on this H-Town Tough helmet. You have it outlined in red, which I think looks like a circus. I think it looks like the Greatest Showman. I don't like that helmet at all. I don't like the big red numbers with that Love You Blue font. I don't like these at all. I think it's cool if people like them. I love that for them. But, yeah, these are my least favorite by far. Again, I think overall they did a fantastic job, but I just don't like these H-Town Toughs. They look like City Connects. It looks like the – what are the Astros ones called on Monday night? The Space
– Space City – yeah, Space City
– Space City Unis?
Yeah, it is the City Connects, Space City.
City Connects, Space City. Yeah, the H to me looks like the Greatest Showman. There's too much going on.
Man, I don't get that one at all.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I know. I definitely tell you don't like it. Actually – Well, I obviously like it more than you. It'd be hard to hate it more. I mean, you're just completely out on it. But
3.2 is not bad.
It's not passing. It's certainly not passing. The only thing I dislike about this uniform set, the H-Town Tough one, is the red numbers with the light blue outline. I don't think that looks very good. It doesn't really pop to me. But I actually like the look at the helmet. I like the different take on the bull on the side of the shoulders. I like both of those aspects of it. And I've always liked the deep steel blue color rush options that they've worn in the past. If I could change anything about these, again, it would just be like the light blue outline for the numbers paired with the red doesn't really stand out. And I don't think the stripe looks very cool on these uniforms. Again, it's the bold red stripe with the light blue outline. I don't like those, but I do actually like the H-Town logo on the helmet and the different take on the bull and the shoulder pads.
Okay. So what did you grade it?
I'll get this 6.8.
Oh, wow. That's a lot better. I just texted you what the back of the normal helmet looks like.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah, let me pull that up.
They have the old English H, which they're calling it the H-Town logo. They have that on the back, and it kind of has like red outlining, where it actually looks pretty sharp on the back of the normal helmet. I just don't like it on the side of the helmet with three different colors. It looks circusy to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you like this version of it way better than the one with the actual blue in it, or the multicolored blue.
Yeah, I like the one on the skull of the normal helmet, the H-Town logo, which doesn't have the three colors that they have on the home jerseys and the away jerseys, is on the skull on the back, and it's way better than the three-colored one. I also like the one thing that I do like about the H-Town Tough one is they have some like pretty cool like subtle things. Like the Toro head is outlined in Love You Blue, H-Town Blue.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning earlier on the shoulder. Yeah, that looks really cool.
I do like that. Like that's something like I could buy a hat that looks like that. Like
oh,
I like
for sure.
I like the Toro with the navy blue middle and then the H-Town Blue outline. That's pretty cool. And the H-Town on the back. So there's subtle things I do like about the H-Town Tough uniform, just all of them in general. Or that jersey in general.
I guess the good news for you is I assume they're only going to wear this H-Town Tough uniform like once a year.
I would think so. Someone texted me that you can only wear or tweeted me that you can only wear alternates three times a year.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the H-Town Tough once a year. You're going to get the bold red once a year, and then I'm not sure what the third alternate would be, but yeah, I think you're only going to see this once a year with the H-Town Tough one.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind to see the red tops with the white pants every now and then. Like, I think that would look pretty cool. So they have some options. I think they did a pretty good overall. I think they did a great job. My only you know, thing I hate is the H-Town Tough one. I don't love that. Here are a few reactions to this. First off, this guy, that's okay, Joe George. We forgive you for getting numbers wrong. Thank you. Thank you for understanding. I was a math major once upon a time, only for a semester. This texter, thank goodness they're not bad. That's true. 2010, they nailed the Texans jerseys first time in franchise history, so of course it's exciting. That's a fair point. 8638, hell is frozen over if Branham has a good thing to say. That's not true. I say good things all the time. I'm super nice. 8074 looks Falcon Seahawksy. I don't see the Seahawks.
The Seahawks kind of have that similar, for lack of a better term, horn, because I know that what it is for the Seahawks isn't a horn, but they have that same sort of like swoosh coming from the shoulder pad.
I guess they have the Seahawk too on the helmet.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks, I could see the similarities there.
Okay, yeah. 6630 Astro Road Grays says Houston on the front too. Love it. I like that as well. And Ocho, I don't get the hatred for the H on the helmet. The old English font is absolute fire. So there you go. Different strokes for different folks, and it's okay that we have disagreements. But that's our thought on the jerseys. If you want to weigh in, you can. 713-780-3776. If you want to tell us why you think Joel's gone today, wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. All right, how do the Astros turn this around? And how confident are you that they can? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Y'all, if y'all haven't joined the club at Texas Star Grill Shop, you're missing out. Head to 975grills.com, 975grills.com right now to join the club. or just mention the club when you go into any of their Houston locations. As a member of the club, you will enjoy special in-store discounts that can't be found anywhere else. You're not going to find these anywhere else. You got to be part of the club. The best products in the outdoor cooking world at Texas Star Grill Shop, and they're giving you prices you won't see anywhere when you join the club. From Traeger to Weber to Napoleon, they have it all. Wood pellet, charcoal, gas, everything. Outdoor pizza ovens, flat top grills, whatever you want. And they're going to beat any price for a club member. Stop falling for the trick of walking into the big box stores and purchasing the first grill you see. Shop at Texas Star Grill Shop and educate yourself in the grill game. If you're going to buy a grill in this town or anywhere, you want to talk to them first. They're going to teach you. They're going to teach you all about the grills. They're going to educate you, and you need this information before you make a purchase, because you're going to love your grill if you get the right one, and you need to get the right one. Full free installation. Don't have to worry about 100 pieces in assembly, a box unloaded on your driveway. Full free assembly and delivery if you're a club member. From start to finish, Texas Star Grill Shop will be there. How about the outdoor kitchen? 975grills.com. They're the best in the business. Club members will get a special pricing on custom outdoor kitchen, free consultation, and the stuff that they can do, like their cabinetry next to the grills. It's fantastic. It's incredible. Learn more, 975grills.com. Join the club for the best barbecue grills at the best price.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No, Blank is gone. No Blank today. It's Brian in for Blank. Where is Blank today? Wrong answers only. Should we be worried? Sending some questionable texts. Tweets. 713-780-3776. Eric the driver. Joel got sprayed by a skunk again and is driving around, laying on the horn, looking for tomato juice.
Like, wait, hold on, again?
I think the skunk's got his dogs twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, fool me once, you know, fool me twice, that old adage.
Yeah, move, brother.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier said than done. Someone said that Joel is in line to buy a Texans jersey. Why is Blankers not here today? Wrong answers only, 713-780-3776. So how do the Astros turn this around, and how confident are you in these things? As I was waiting around for Jeremy Booth to come on the Killer G's today for 15 minutes, might have even been longer than that, I heard him talking about this Matt Kawahara article. Ryan McTaggart had one too, like the things that the Astros have to do to get better. Matt Kawahara from the Houston Chronicle, he put together four things that the Astros have to do to turn this thing around. How confident are you in these things? And I heard Paul, he's like, these things are very patronizing, which totally get his point. The first thing, more production from the middle of the order. That sounds like a great idea, Brian. A baseball team getting production from the middle of the order sounds like a terrific idea.
So if I'm catching where you're going with this, Jeremy, I look, I'm not the smartest baseball man alive, but let me make sure I'm following this. So run production from the middle of your order, generally your best hitters, is a good thing?
Yes.
Okay, and so more of it then would be an even better thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I like where Matt's going with this so far.
One of the things, too, like, you know what this reminds me of a little bit? Like, can the Astros turn it around, fix these four things ASAP? How can I have more fortune, fix these four things ASAP? Get more money. Get more money. That's how I can fix my fortune. Get more money. How can the Astros turn this around? Get more production from the middle of the order. That is a genius idea. No one has ever thought of that. So innovative. Why do we call him Matt Kawahara? This is Matt Einstein with this innovation. This is Thomas Edison.
Wow. I mean, what is the first thing you
Benjamin
wish for
Franklin.
From a genie? You wish for more wishes. I think that's where Matt's going with this.
Yeah. I mean, the lack of production in the middle of the order has been bad. Now, it could lead to a lineup conversation. Maybe we'll have one of those later. The second thing was from a pitching staff perspective. Here's another piece of genius. Cut down on walks.
Okay.
Stop walking, guys. If you want to be good at baseball, your pitching staff shouldn't walk, guys. I mean, what a touch of brilliance.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, it tracks. I would say generally, like, the idea of pitching is to prevent teams from scoring. And, you know, keeping people off base by issuing walks and not making them earn the ability to get on base is generally a good thing as far as run prevention goes. So I think, again, this tracks for Matt.
Now, there are times where walks make sense. You have Barry Bonds with runners at second and third, two outs. You're not pitching
set up
to
a
Barry
double
Bonds.
Play, maybe.
Yeah, or just not pitching to Barry Bonds. Buck Showalter famously or infamously, actually it worked, walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. Like, there are times when the better matchups, the guys on you know, the guy on deck, first base open. So there's times where walks make more sense. But, yeah, cut down on walks sounds like a terrific idea. Now, I don't know that if you have the pitching staff that's really capable of doing that, right? Because you got Hunter Brown. He's kind of a walk guy. Christian Javier, injured right now. He's a guy who's going to walk some guys. Ronel Blanco is going to walk some guys. Framber Valdez is going to walk some guys. You really don't have the personnel from a starting rotation that really is great with their command. They're kind of a high walk pitching staff, quite frankly.
They are. I think we have seen versions of Framber when he's been at his best, though, that has been a guy who walks less batters. Like, I don't have much hope that Christian Javier or Hunter Brown are suddenly going to become guys with low walk numbers. But I do believe there's a version of Framber, and the odds of us getting that version, you know, is another question. But I do believe there is a best version of Framber that would be a guy that is lighter on the walk count.
I still think he walks a healthy amount even whenever he's at his best. But you're right.
Yeah, maybe you just don't care about it because he's so good at inducing ground balls that turn into double plays.
Yeah, and he doesn't give up a lot of hits. Like, opponent batting average is very low. The next one from Kawahara Einstein, put hitters away. Put hitters away. Genius. Stroke of brilliance.
I think this is the one that's most patronizing. If we're going to side with Paul here, and I do side with him overall on this, I think this is the most patronizing. He basically just said, get people out. Like, yeah. Okay, thanks. Like, what is the key for the Texans next season? Score touchdowns? I mean,
score
thanks.
Points.
Yeah.
Score runs.
Put hitters away.
What is your confidence that the Astros pitching can start putting hitters away?
Tell me when the guys are going to get back. I think that's my confidence. I mean, Verlander's back. He's only made the one start, but he looked really good. I mean, you get Framber back. You get Luis Garcia back. You know, knock on wood, fingers crossed, all those things. You get Lance McCullers back.
Even Urquidy. Like, I mean,
get Urquidy, sure.
Like, if you add Urquidy, it's a demotion of Sean Dubin. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you a little bit deeper. I'm confident that they'll figure it out. I don't think they're going to have the worst ERA in the American League all year.
No, I mean, you get to a point where you have Verlander, Framber, Javier, and Ronel Blanco, which is an odd thing to say because it's not something we thought we'd have said before the season starts.
Yeah.
But you get to that point, and then you get Luis Garcia back, and maybe you don't have to rely on Hunter Brown, or you move him back, you move him down to AAA, or you move him to the bullpen, just something to get him out of the rotation until he figures things out. Then I think these things like cutting down, well, maybe not the walks part, but putting hitters away, as basic as that is, starts to become something that happens more frequently.
The yeah, I'm confident they'll get it, they'll figure it out. And then the final one, get more from first base.
I mean, better than 068.
Better than under the BAC, the legal BAC in the state of Texas. Yeah, I mean, that's another obvious one. I think they will get more out of first base now.
How?
How much? Well, I mean, I think John Singleton's an upgrade over Jose Abreu. It's not much of an upgrade.
No.
It's still way below league average at first base, but is Singleton greater than Abreu? Yes. Is Singleton lower or lesser than the league average at first base? Yeah, also yes. But I don't think that you can get any worse than, like, we talked about this the other day. Jose Abreu's on pace to shatter the worst WAR in single season history. How do you improve that? You literally don't play him. You play anybody else.
You do. And you're right. I mean, obviously, it can only go up from where Jose Abreu is right now. But even if John Singleton's an upgrade, and he obviously is, because Jose Abreu, as you pointed out, is historically bad. I don't know if replacing Jose Abreu's production with the production that John Singleton would give you, which is, as you said, still below average and still not good. I don't know if that, I mean, technically would be getting more from first base, but I don't know if you'd actually be improving it to a point that actually matters, because it's still below average production from a position that has to be, or in most lineups, has to be a really good hitter.
I don't disagree with anything you said there, but it does matter. Like, would you rather be better, equal, or worse?
No, I agree. I'm not disagreeing that it doesn't. Of course, it helps. What I'm nitpicking and maybe disagreeing with is, does it help enough to actually make a noticeable difference in the level of production and consistency you see from the lineup every game?
I mean, if it hits 150, is it noticeable?
I don't think so. 150,
I mean,
is it noticeable? That's below what Malte hit last year.
But it's twice as good as what Jose Abreu's
hitting.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't say putting Maldi in the lineup would be a huge positive for the offense. And that's at 150. That's what you're getting from Maldi.
To me, it's not a huge positive, but again, it's improvement. Like if you're, and I don't think Singleton's going to hit 120 if he gets a run of play. I think he's going to hit 200. I think he'll get on base 30% of the time, and I think he'll run into a home run every now and then. That's an improvement over what you're getting. Now, to your point, is it good enough to where you're a World Series contender or playoff caliber? Maybe not. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What do we need to do to boost the Astros' morale? And would Jeff Bagwell, I think he's 55, would Jeff Bagwell at this stage of his life have better numbers than Jose Abreu? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
No Blankers today. Blankers is out somewhere. Sent some weird texts, disturbing texts earlier today. 713-780-ESPN. Why is Blankers not here today? Brian in for Blankers. Someone texted Joel at a pub watching Premier League drinking at 7.
Hashtag Blankers, soccer matters.
Yes. He is friends with Glenn Davis.
Ooh, okay. I think this lends a little credence to my pub theory. Maybe don't they call each other Paisan? Maybe they're hanging
Bonsons.
Out right now.
They call each other Bonsons.
Okay, my bad on the pronunciation.
No, you're right. I'm joking. They do call each other Paisans. Bonson means fatty in Spanish, which he doesn't like when I say that, which is why I say it. Joel was taken by aliens.
Hold on. Who likes what? Being called fatty?
I call myself fatty.
You say that as if it's unique to Joel. Like if everyone just loves being called fatty.
You know, kings back in the day, they liked to have a little pot belly because
that's true.
It showed their wealth.
Sure, if we're gonna take all our comparisons from 1600s royalty, sure. At a time, being fat was a sign of wealth because you could afford the food. But I think times have changed a little bit.
Finest meats and cheeses of all the land. I heard some kings too. I don't know who, and I'm probably just making this up. That they would put on fat suits like they were James Harden.
What do you mean, fat suits?
Like they would have like little, I don't know what you would call them, but like they were little like things you would put over your back, like your shoulders, like a backpack, and then you would have they would give you a belly, and then when you put on your clothes, it looked like you had more of a belly than you really did.
I mean, actors do that now for different roles, so yeah, I guess it's not a completely foreign concept, but
no. No, I mean, women enhance, and that's how men in the past used to enhance. They would give themselves little fat suits.
So men in that time could put on fat suits to look better, but women had to cinch the hell out of their midsections.
That's why I'm a little chubby, Brian, because I'm trying to get out ahead of the trend. We know that history has a way of repeating itself, and I just want to be ready when that time comes.
Yeah, so when it comes time to throw back to the times of feudal lords in the 1600s, you'll be ready. Yeah.
AR Platinum, I heard Joel got a tryout to replace Abreu at first. That's why he's not here.
Can't be much worse.
What would Joel hit against Major League pitching? 0-6-8 or less? I'll go with less.
Probably less, yeah.
I'll go with less. But how about current Jeff Bagwell? Current Jeff Bagwell, I think he's 55, right? He's like 35.
He's 55 on the dot.
He was 35 in 2025. That was his final year. So do the math there. There you go. So
he's 55.
I got my math going again after failing earlier.
Math major.
Would current Jeff Bagwell at the age of 55, assuming that, I mean, I don't know if the shoulder's better now or not. It can't be better. But would current Jeff Bagwell at the age of 55, could he – look, Jeff Bagwell's back of baseball card is better than Jose Abreu's back of baseball card.
The back of his baseball card.
Yes. Thank you, Joe Espada, most interesting manager in the world. Jeff Bagwell's back of baseball card is better than Jose Abreu's back of baseball card. Could Jeff Bagwell – at the age of 55, could he go 4-for-59? Could he go 4-for-59 in major league against major league pitching?
If given time to actually rank, like I don't think he could step out of the booth, like you know, like okay, Blumber's back, let's head on down to the home plate and take a few hacks. I don't think he could do it then, and I'm taking this question super seriously because it's the tone that it deserves. But yeah, actually, I do think if you gave him enough batting practice time, maybe an extended spring training, if you will, some simulated games, could Bagwell get four hits in, what was it, 59 at bats? I think he could.
I think Bagwell could get you four hits and 59 at bats. You know what Bagwell is going to do too? That Jose Abreu is not doing. Jose Abreu this season, not only does he have only four hits, but he has three walks. Jeff Bagwell is going to draw you a few walks.
And I also think Jeff Bagwell would commit fewer errors.
Yeah. Now, don't ask him to throw.
No, you
don't
can't
ask him to throw.
He can't throw.
He knows all about bum shoulders, but he signed a guy with a bum shoulder, Michael Brantley. But he can't throw, but he can still pick it a little bit. And, you know, Jeff, I don't think he's going to steal many bases at this age, but Jeff Bagwell was a very good base runner.
Time. He's got multiple 30 steal seasons in his career.
Okay. So Bagwell may or may not get four hits and 59 at bats. I feel confident that he'll reach seven times in 65 plate appearances, whether it's walking, because he had an excellent eye, whether it's taking a fastball to the left outside of his hand, because he was great at that too, shattered his hand with two or three different times, and then he had to get that big old pad. So he might get hit on the left hand seven times to get on base a little bit. Here's where I think Jeff Bagwell would be better than Jose Abreu. Catching routine pop flies in foul territory.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but I believe Abreu has four hits, three errors. He's just one hit above his amount of errors right now. So I definitely think Bagwell could have a better ratio of hits to errors.
Yeah, it's not great. Wix is saying, Branham, you and I could outproduce current real-life Jose Abreu. I think highly of myself. Sometimes I'm borderline cocky. I don't think I can get four hits and 59 at-bats. Maybe one. Maybe I get a slow roller to second, and I can leg it out, which, you know, I'm anti-exercise, so I'm not sure how fast I am getting down the line these days. Maybe I can bloop one into right center field, guessing fastball. I think in 59 at-bats, I got at most one hit in me.
Yeah, I think if you just cheated every time, guessing fastball, you could run into one. I don't think you could get to four hits, though.
I do have a base hit against Jay Bruce, just so you know that. Just so you know what you're working with here, BMAC. I have a base hit against Jay Bruce, noted outfielder, not pitcher. But as a sophomore, I was a senior. He threw me a 1-2 fastball on the outside half. I was guessing fastball, and I hit a punching Judy grounder through the right side into right field for a leadoff single. Want you to know that.
What was the launch angle on this hit, Jeremy?
What is it, like, as soon as it goes into the ground? I don't know what the launch angle. It would be negative. I mean, what is the worst launch angle you can have? Negative 90?
It was. I guess negative 90 would be.
I'll go negative 80, I guess. Negative 80 degrees.
Okay.
If that's a real thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but how many of you guys have base hits against former big leaguers? Huh? All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We'll get into the what do you need to do to boost Astros morale a little bit later. 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. Why is Blankers not here? And we know that Nick Caserio likes to trade. He's a Will and Dylan son of a gun, that Nick Caserio. Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, he listed five trade options for the Houston Texans. Do any of these make sense for the Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Blankers might be calling HR on me with all the grief that we're giving him today. And it's a good thing we have a good HR business that works for us, HR&P. Mike Holley runs HR&P, former Cougar, go Cougs, U of H class of 1990. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner, and now he wants to protect your businesses. He's been doing this for nearly 25 years, nearly three decades in the business of protecting your business. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. You can almost call them a friend. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question, usually by email. Always get a quick response, very easy to understand. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.